Speaking of Reliability, a podcast with good friends talking with you about reliability engineering topics. Let's discuss how to create and improve your reliability program and your career. All right, welcome to Speaking of Reliability. This is Fred Schenkelberg, and John Peskowitz is back again. Hey, John.
Hi, Fred.
Hey, you know, in the last episode we recorded, you mentioned something that raised a question for me, and I'm going to anticipate, since we're pre-recording these, that we're going to get questions from our audience on it. You mentioned lean QFD, quality functional deployment, and it's one of those things, and I mentioned last time that I've been looking at the new body of knowledge for the CRE exam, and they dropped QFD. And when I first saw that, I thought, that's good. You know, that is a labor-intensive, you know, cross-functional exercise. It's got a good concept, right? You want to know what you're doing is going to impact what's important to customers. I think that concept is great. But then you mentioned this lean QFD, which I went, what? What's that? So we should talk about that a little bit.
Okay. It would probably help to have the graphics with this, but I'll describe it as best I can.
Okay.
With lean, one of the important things is voice of the customer. So the entire team is involved in gathering information from the customer to understand what their needs are, and from a reliability standpoint, and that involves what are their expectations for reliability, what are the impacts of failure. If the system fails, what does it do to their operation of the product?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, you hear about that with some companies, like servers. When I worked at HP, is they knew that if their server went down, and one of the big clients at the time was Blockbuster that did video rentals. If they couldn't check you out, people would walk out, right? Mm-hmm. And they wouldn't rent a video. So they were losing revenue. For every hour it was down, and they had some central servers, they said every hour down, it was, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars of lost revenue.
That's the kind of impact that you need to identify. And so mm-hmm. those help define what the reliability requirements are. Mm-hmm. And it also is a chance to identify the maintenance concept.
Mm-hmm.
Does the customer expect this to run between preventive maintenance cycles without failure? And how long is that?
Well, it's like a helicopter.
What are the conditions?
You don't want to have to adjust the rotor or the gearbox during flight.
Not a recommended procedure. No. So those kind of things you understand. But now how do we translate that to design features that the engineers can actually use to design the product?
Mm-hmm.
And so if you look at the center section of QFD, the House of Quality, you have on the left-hand side, you have customer needs.
Mm-hmm.
And then across the top, you have features. These are features that are needed to meet those requirements. And what you do in lean QFD, that's about all you have. You just take that center section out of the old House of Quality, mm-hmm. where you have here's needs, here's features, and you start to match them up. And where you have, and you use your existing product, for example. So you've got a baseline product that you typically develop. In most cases, product development is evolutionary mm-hmm. rather than revolutionary. You're taking a knowledge base on particular types of products or technologies and developing. So here you can meet some of those needs. Here I have features in my existing knowledge base that will meet those customer needs.
Well, let's use an example, like a cell phone, a smartphone, right? So a customer need would be to make and receive phone calls. And so a feature would be cell service.
Yeah.
You know, kind of thing.
So, yeah, that we've got met. But then there's another new feature that they want that we don't have a feature that will meet that need. So that's one of the areas where our development efforts are going to have to focus on those areas where we can't meet a need. Or there's going to be ones where we have a feature, but the customers don't really need that.
Right.
And so you can eliminate that. You can do that, use that in a trade-off to get one of the features that are needed. So it helps you look at those basic product development decisions in a relatively simple matrix where you have needs, features, and they start to match up. And where can we meet those needs? Where do we fail to meet those needs? And that helps focus the development effort on meeting those particular needs. Then there's a follow-on exercise in lean product development where you take those needs and you prioritize them. And you do kind of a paired comparison where you, which is more important than the other, and it goes through a kind of rank ordering
technique. What's the criteria for the rank ordering? Is it which ones have more risk? Which ones are more important? Which ones are that kind of stuff?
Which has the most impact? And obviously some are going to be more important than others. So it helps you focus on which ones do we work on first. So that's basically the concept. It's quite a bit more simplified than the whole full blown house of quality that we have in the original QFD.
Yeah, because that included interactions of the features, setting the specifications for those features, doing competitive analysis. I mean, it just went on and on and on.
So it's a much more focused and simplified version of QFD, but it does help focus that learning portion of lean that we talked about in the previous session on here's the key features we really need to develop in order to make a competitive product.
All right. Well, where's the reliability folks come into play on that?
Well, that comes in where reliability is one of those customer needs we've identified. And so that gets prioritized and also look at our current product. So the features we have from our current product, do those meet reliability needs, or have we had a field history of issues where we're going to have a difficult time meeting those customer reliability needs with our current technology?
So, we're always going to meet the customer's needs. We just make it up in volume.
No, that's not the way you should do it. No. So this is looking at can we meet their expectations? It requires that upfront definition in the reliability engineering participating with the voice of the customer, either directly or indirectly. Sometimes we send a group of people out to the customer. Here's the questions you need to ask them and get answers back. And it starts that dialogue. So
there's two parts. One is, what is, and that sounds like a marketing function with the reliability folks coaching them as to what questions and how to get those.
Often the way it works, because the marketing guys go out and do the interface with the customer. Later, as we get more involved, then the engineers actually get to go out to the customer and get involved. But sometimes you do work through others like marketing to get the right questions to the customer.
Right. And then the other part is the customers on previous products are saying, hey, this is how we're voting for the warranty or field service or repairs or whatever, that this is what we want it to do and it's not. And so they're telling you very directly to some extent what it is. So there's some data analysis. I still like a good stack of data. The QFD in FMEA to some extent has always been, subjective and who's in the room and what experience do you have? And I understand the value of those tools, but give me a stack of field data, give me a good failure analysis any day.
That's going to vary. It depends on the product. So some products that are, not repairable, for example, that are throw away and replace.
My coffee pot,
You often don't get good field data because you got to start looking at sales. Do you see a spike in sales of replacement parts or something? That give you an indication, hey, this may be a problem area. But the customers don't usually raise those issues until, hey, we've had 5,000 of these fail. We need to do something. They start contacting. You got this big issue where you've had a multitude of failures. But normally you don't see that information on a lot of throwaway items. So
it's also a price point. I think the throwaway item, and that keeps varying in different industries. It varies, and also it's what's important. If my CD player in my car failed, I probably wouldn't even know. I don't remember the last time I used the CD.
Yeah.
You know, and even with my home entertainment system, as we've got a rack of CDs, but it's pretty dusty. So, you know, as our requirements change, it might still be a legacy item. It's still in the dashboard of my car. But it's like, you know, as the population changes, our failure rates may go way down on those CDs. Not that we've done anything to improve the reliability. It's just the customers just moved away.
Yeah, I just don't use them. Yeah, so that's right. So, you have to use some judgment in it and look at various indicators of field failure information. Sometimes you get it back. Sometimes you're able to do the full analysis on it. Other times not. So mm-hmm. you got to take the pieces of information you have. And is that really a weak area or not? And is it still important to the customer? So that's why this dialogue is important. You know, from their perspective, what are the failures that are really giving them issues? And, mm-hmm.
Yeah, if my CD spontaneously combusted and burned my car down, then I'd be interested
in
it.
Yeah, upset.
That's right. Sound quality, you know, it's not there anymore, but yeah, it destroys my car when it fails. That's bad. Yeah. So, but that kind of discussion is stuff that without doing this, when we talked about it last time, this lean and agile product development, where there's much more emphasis up front to, you know, look and invest in it up front and getting the feasibility phase of a project. It seems like it's much more well-funded and there's more people at the table essentially, or in the room working on it. And then the lean QFD though, is that's the interjection of the voice of the customer and making that part of the overall discussion. Now, reliability isn't always the dominant customer requirement, but when I was working at Hewlett Packard, it was in product line after product line after product line, and some of it was the brand, right? As they sold reliability, and it's just going to work. But it was a customer survey after customer survey was reliability is the most important factor in making a decision to buy, and I don't know. Do you see that in your history, your background?
It depends on the product. And certainly in some industries, failures are just disastrous. If they have the costs of shutting down a process or losing a lot of product or whatever because of a failure is just totally unacceptable. So they expect it to work without failure between maintenance intervals, for example. So in those cases it is pretty high priority, and some other areas not so much. So it depends what it does to the process they're doing with the product. If it impacts that and prevents them from doing what they need to do, or shuts down a production line or something like that, then it becomes very expensive very quickly, and that's unacceptable. So in those cases it does rank pretty highly.
Well, that's one of those questions I ask my students. I teach at a course through University of Maryland each summer. And one of the questions I ask them in their homework is, what's the most expensive cost of unreliability? Or what's the most largest expense in reliability? And almost every one of them says, well, it's testing, or it's finding a failure late and delaying a program, or it's warranty cost, or it was always focused on what's the cost to the company. And I'm like, you know, if a server goes down on eBay and takes them offline for an hour, that's $1 million.
Yeah, it's a lot of lost sales.
Yeah. And if you take a factory down, like a car factory, they know to the minute how many thousands of dollars of revenue they're losing. Because if the car's not on the lot, they can't sell it. Yeah. And so that's where you're talking about this lean QFD is taking in the importance of these kinds of things. So this feature is critically important.
Yeah.
Right. You can't mess with that one. And this one, so it's just a list of requests from a customer. Reliability in general is there. But I think you could also expand that to saying, well, if the CD doesn't work, that's no big deal. But I need to be able to steer the car.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. There's certain functions are really critical, and that's kind of what you're trying to identify here. What are the real critical design features, and which ones are impacted by reliability? And so it helps you focus the development efforts earlier on those features.
Now, would you start talking about the variability impacts at this point, or would you start just flagging which ones the manufacturing process or supply chain issues would impact those customer? Because variability obviously plays a role in the eventual
It's
performance.
obviously becomes more important in terms of the manufacturing side. But as you look at designs, can we repeatedly and consistently build this design, or is the so difficult to build we're going to inherently have a lot of variability? So yeah, it becomes part of those early discussions with manufacturing engineering. How feasible is this to build repeatedly and consistently in volume? And if they don't have a good way to do that, then that becomes a higher priority in the development process. Yeah. So you begin to introduce it as you look at, okay, we're moving towards this feature in our design. What does that do to our manufacturability? And so.
I'm just thinking of one circumstance. We had three prototypes come back early in our process, and two of them didn't work. One of the features just didn't work, and they went, "Oh, that's just a prototype. Well, we got the one and it works. Proof of concept, we're good." And I'm like, well, wait a minute here. Why didn't they work? And it was variability in the process. And I'm like, well, let's flag that. Let's keep track of that. And let's understand that. And they're like, oh, no. They'll work it out later. And I'm like, this
Famous
is,
last word.
yeah. And it ended up being they just had to make more, and they paid it through yield loss and the production line. And I'm like, oh, what a waste.
That's not good. So yeah, the transition to production is, well, early on we do margin type testing like we do in HALT or AST. Start finding, you do enough samples, you might do three or five or six if you can get them, but it's already an early indication of variability from sample to sample. The downside of it is those are usually not built by a production process, so but they can be early indicators of, yeah, this is going to be something we have more difficulty building repeatedly. If you have variation in prototypes, you're probably going to have a lot more variation in production.
That's right.
So.
No, that's good. So you mentioned some of the graphics and stuff. We'll have to just add those to the show notes, maybe
Yeah,
some images of that. And
I can do one of the slides they use, and that shows kind of what the QFD Lean QFD version looks like, so
okay.
that would help people understand what we're talking about. I've tried to describe it as best we can, but I'll send you one to put in the show notes.
Well, I did pick up on all your hand gestures and going in this axis and over here, and it's the power of radio. You have to imagine that
But yeah, it is a useful tool, and
part. Okay.
helps get reliability involved earlier in the process. And so, and then does relate it back to the customer, who's really your ultimate determination of reliability. Does it satisfy their expectations?
That's right. I'll have to rethink that QFD. So let's summarize it here. And it's one of those things, if you're listening to this, do you do lean QFD, or do you use some other method to get the voice of the customer into your program? Do you, how do you keep the, because, John, you and I agree that, and I think most of our listeners would, is that reliability is a concern and important in the decision purchasing and use of the products we're making. But keeping that alive within the development program, especially early, is not always the easiest thing to do. It's becomes more, the customers want reliable products, and then it's never discussed or implemented. Whereas what you're describing is it gives a simple process to make it visible and practical for consideration, and early in the program, so that it helps shape big decisions. And that's a great place for the reliability engineers to be.
It's still, there's trade-offs involved, obviously. There always are. You're inevitably going to have to trade some of this for some of that. You can't have a meet all the goals, but it helps in making those decisions, and keeps reliability visible during the trade-off decisions.
Yeah, perfect. So if If you got an idea of, you know, or if you're using it, we'd love to hear from you. Head over to reliability.fm and you can find the Speaking of Reliability show, and there's plenty of places to leave comments and provide feedback to us. We'd love to hear from you. We're just getting John back into the program rotation here. So, you know, let's send some questions over and get John back on the line to answer some of those. We'd love to base our shows on what you would like to hear in the area. Please do check out the book by Kirk and John. Next Generation Halt and Hass. I think I got it right.
Yeah, that's right.
And there's a section in there about this lean concept and lean and pieces of that, and talks about it. There's other references we'll leave in the show notes that talk in more detail. But, you know, how's it going for you? Are you getting involved early in the program? Are you using concepts of lean development? And what kind of struggles or hurdles are you facing? So those are the kinds of things we should put up in as future shows and get John to help us through those. So with that, John, I think good summary. You got anything, one last thing, like the chat?
Or no, I think that was a good coverage of the subject in a brief format, and I hope it stimulates some interest and questions.
Yeah, perfect. Like we said, we'd love to hear from you. All right, well, thanks so much, John. Until next time.
Thank you, Fred.
Thanks for listening to Speaking of Reliability. We invite you to join the conversation if you have a question or a topic that you think we should discuss in a future show. Please let us know. You can find a comment box below the episode show notes, or just leave a note as part of a review on iTunes.